Have a seat. Welcome to the engine room. And tonight we are starting a new series called Everyday Apologetic. Everyday Apologetics. And tonight's title is How Do I Prove There's a God to My Atheist Friends? So I decided to start off with an easy topic. Yeah, so how do I prove there's a God to my atheist friends? Well, it's a good question, and we need to answer it the right way. There's a right way to answer this question, and there's a wrong way to answer this question. The wrong way is to act like God is some object in the universe that lives inside the universe. You cannot put God in a laboratory, place him under a microscope, and examine him. He's not a physical being. But that doesn't mean that God can't be known. It means that God is not a specimen inside creation. God is the creator of creation. You might want to write that down because that's a good thing to say. God is the creator of creation. So, now here's the big thing right here for you to be prepared for. When someone says, well, prove God exists, here's the way that we respond. Somebody says to you, prove God exists, this is how you answer. You say, what kind of proof are you asking for? What kind of proof are you asking for? Because it's a specific answer. If you mean scientific proof, like testing water for hydrogen and oxygen, then no, I cannot prove to you that God exists. Because that particular type of science studies the natural world. Remember what Jesus said? God is what? Spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I want you to hear this. God is not trapped inside the natural world. God is not trapped inside the natural world. So, think about John Grisham. How many of you guys know who John Grisham is? Okay. The author of a book is not less real because he's not trapped inside the story. How many books has John Grisham written about himself? Well, none. There's no evidence of him in any of his books. Does that mean he doesn't exist? No, he's the very reason why these stories exist. God is not less real because he's not trapped inside the universe. God is the reason there's a universe at all. So a worldview, and that's what we're really talking about here, a worldview is like a lens, okay? You don't just look at the lens. You look through the lens. The question is, which lens makes reality the clearest? So here's the big idea tonight. And Joey, there's a little bit of ring. If you guys would just bring it down just a little bit. Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. And that matters because, let's face it, Christians get intimidated when people ask them, can you prove there's a God? So your atheist friend says, prove God exists, and suddenly you feel the need to become Einstein and a seminary professor at the same time, and you go, forget it. I'm just not going to bring it up. That's not what you need. What do you need? You need biblical confidence. You need clear thinking. You need humility. You need courage. and you need love. Because so many quote-unquote intellectual problems aren't really intellectual problems at all. And I'll get to that later. And we also need tenderness. Some atheists are wounded. They've been burned by religion. Some are confused. Some have watched hypocrisy up close. Some have only heard a distorted version of Christianity. So we don't mock and we don't flex on atheists. That's the wrong posture. And I want you to get this because this is big. Apologetics is not about winning arguments. It's not. It's about loving people enough to tell them the truth in a reasonable way. Romans 1, 18 through 20 talks about how the world suppresses the truth, right? But God has made himself plain and clear by what has been made. So what does the world do? It suppresses the truth, but what has God done? God has made his existence clear in creation. And so the issue is not that Christianity cannot explain reality. The issue is that the human heart resists the God who explains reality. That's the ultimate issue, is that it's a moral issue, ultimately. And I truly believe this. Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. So how do we help our friends think clearly? And that's the right posture. Number one, Jesus reveals the Creator we cannot ignore. Write that down. That's point number one. So for me, the answer to atheism begins with the claims of Jesus Christ. Why start with Jesus? Because everybody loves Jesus. Everybody has Jesus in their camp. The Muslims have Jesus in their camp. Did you know that? That Jesus was a great prophet. The Hindus, the Buddhists respect Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. The Mormons are Christians in their mind. Tell them they're not a Christian and find out how they feel about it. Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody wants Jesus in their camp. The liberals want Jesus in their camp for social justice, right? The legalists want their Jesus in their camp to justify self-righteousness, whatever. But here's the problem. You cannot ignore the claims of Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed to be God. I have never understood the notion when people talk about the four Gospels, when people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. I just can't understand it. It's clear that they've not read the four Gospels very clear, because it's just overt. He did not merely claim to be a prophet or claim to be a moral leader. John 8:58 says, before, y'all catch this, you don't want to drift even a split second or you're going to get lost, okay? Before Abraham was, I am. Do you understand what that means? Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus. So was Jesus saying, I've been alive on planet Earth for over 2,000 years? No. This was not a normal historic statement. Jesus was reaching back all the way to Exodus 3:14, where God revealed his name to Moses. I am that I am. Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am. I have always existed. I am Yahweh. That's what he was saying. And then in John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Can you imagine if I said, I and the president are one? So I'm going to give you some executive orders right now. You would be like, 911, sure you are, Pastor Joel, right? Jesus, in a monotheistic culture, looked at Jewish leaders and said, I and the Father are one. What did that mean? Well, the crowd knew exactly what Jesus meant. In John 10, 33, they wanted to stone him because of blasphemy, because they said to him, "You, a mere man, claim to be God." That's a smoking gun. You cannot. So Jesus claimed to be God. John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So that's the claim of somebody saying that all access to God runs through them. It'd be like me saying to Kevin, "Kevin, if you want to pray, you need to talk to me first." Yeah, that's a bad deal. Can you imagine? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. If you want a relationship with the Father, you have to go through me." These are extraordinary claims. So either Jesus was who he claimed to be or he wasn't. But his claims cannot be brushed aside. Now connect that to creation. So I'm just going to say this. Jesus was not insane. Jesus was not a con artist. There's zero proof of that historically. And contrary to PhD ignorance, and I say this in terms of the Jesus seminar movement back in the 60s and 70s, Jesus is not a legend. Jesus is an historical figure. Everybody believes it except a small portion of people. So the life of Jesus is clear. So either Jesus was who he said he was or he wasn't. Now, what did he say about creation? What did Jesus say about creation? In Mark 13, 19, Jesus spoke of the beginning when God created the world. In Matthew 19, 4, Jesus said, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female." So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the universe and humanity were created by God. Once again, that's either true or false. And then the apostles make the claim even more. The apostle John in John 1:3 says, "Through him all things were made." Colossians 1:16 says, "All things have been created through him and for him." So if Jesus was God in the flesh, which he claimed to be, the creation is not just a theory to debate. Jesus makes the case clearly that he believed that the universe and all living organisms were created by a creator. The creator stepped into his creation and testified about where everything came from. Okay? Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. So that brings the conversation to the real question now. And it's this. What do you do with Jesus, right? Number two, creation makes better sense with a creator. Duh, right? Number two, creation makes better sense with a creator. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay, well, what's the opposite argument of that then, Joel? Okay. In the beginning, there was a Big Bang, but we don't know that what caused that Big Bang, but it happened. Or there has never been a beginning. It's just always existed, and somehow through some kind of cosmic anomaly, an explosion so great happened that the universe was created with all of the perfect symmetry that you can see, and all the gravitational pull, and the sun, and the earth was just right enough to close to the sun so nobody burns up, and not too far that everybody freezes. Oh, and then humanity. Well, and by the way, we're not even going to talk about the actual laws of thermodynamics and where they came from, but humanity was basically formed in this primordial soup with a single cell organism where electromagnetic power hit it and somehow it took life and was able to crawl up on the land in over a billion years, became like, you know, it went from a single cell organism to like a triple cell organism to a moth to something else to a ape man to another ape man to another ape man to today. Which one makes more sense? That one or in the beginning God created? See, that sentence, in the beginning God created, is not religious decoration. It is the foundation of reality. This is about reality. Before matter, God. Before time, God. Before galaxies, God. Before atoms, God. Before molecules, God. Before consciousness, God. See, science can describe many of the processes inside the universe. Many they can't. But Christians should not fear that. Christians should not fear science. Truth belongs to God. But here's the problem. Science has never been able to adequately explain why there's a universe to study in the first place. And don't even get me going on string theory. Don't even get me going on the Higgs boson particles, the God particle. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is there something rather than nothing? The classic argument is simple, really. Everything that begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. You see the logic there? That's a deductive syllogism. When Christians say nothing cannot produce everything, we're not talking about a mysterious physical state or a quantum field or unseen energy. Here's what we mean. Absolutely nothing. No matter, no energy, no laws, no space, no time, no mind. Absolutely nothing produces nothing. Nobody plus nothing does not equal everything. That took me like a couple hours to come up with that. Like an applause or something. You know? No, I'm kidding, kidding. Just a joke. So if the universe began, catch this now, if the universe began, then it is not eternal. If it is not eternal, then it cannot be its own ultimate explanation. If the universe began, then it is not eternal. If it is not eternal, then it cannot be its own ultimate explanation. The universe cannot explain itself because the universe did not create itself. Are you with me? Atheism can describe a universe that exists, but Christianity explains why there's a universe at all. And so Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. Number three. Order makes better sense with design. Order makes better sense with design. Now, look at the universe real quick, okay? The universe has order. It has symmetry. It has laws. It has intelligibility. God is not the enemy of science. God is the reason why science works. Now, we'll move from the universe. Take a look at the human body. The eye receives light. The brain interprets images. The heart pumps blood. DNA carries information. Dr. Francis Collins describes DNA as an instructional script like a software program. He's a Christian scientist. Now, think about this for a moment. Think about digital technology. How many of you guys have an iPhone or a Galaxy or whatever, you rebels? Okay, if you've ever FaceTimed someone, if you've ever used Zoom, if you've ever made a cell phone call or a text, I want you to hear me. If you receive a text from someone 8,000 miles away, you don't say, well, chance produced this. This just happened by random chance. Basically, there's an iPhone tree and it fell down, right? No, you know you got to press deeper than just the phone, right? That message, listen to me now, traveled through electromagnetic realities human beings did not invent. So the electromagnetic waves that circle around the earth carry ones and zeros in particular orders so many times over that they're able to transmit an image 8,000 miles away with two iPhones. Where did those electromagnetic waves come from? Where did the ones and zeros come from? See, human beings discovered them, but who created them? Where did these laws come from? Where did the order of the universe come from? Where did the possibility of telecommunication come from and telemetry? We encode ones and zeros. We transmit them across the earth. We decode them and see a human face in real time. Now, if you're under the age of like 30, you're like, yeah. But if you're old like me, you're like, yeah. I will never forget the first time I did a FaceTime with my church plant coach, Dr. Sam Douglas, and I was in Alaska and he was in Liberia, Africa. And we're looking at each other and talking like Star Trek. And I was just like, this is unbelievable. This is just taking it for granted now, right? And then we're told to believe that the universe behind all of this is just mindless randomness. There's no purpose. It's all just accidental. It's just no way. I cannot accept that. Digital technology does not prove God exists in and of itself, but it exposes the obvious. We live in a universe loaded with order, with laws, with symmetry, and intelligibility. Information points to mind, the mind of a creator. Function points to purpose. Design points to intelligence. Psalm 19:1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Creation is not whispering. Creation is preaching every single day. Atheism can use the order, but Christianity explains the why behind the order that we see. And Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. Number four, conscience makes better sense with the image of God. Okay? But the evidence is not just above us, it's also within us. Okay? Human beings long for love, they long for beauty, they long for justice, they long for meaning. They long for eternity. I mean, think about this. When we hear music, we feel something, don't we? I played some music for my cat this week. Nothing. Have you ever seen a dog cry? Because the symphonic harmony was so beautiful, they couldn't hold the tears back. We see injustice, and immediately something is wrong. That's why wherever you go, there's some kind of laws to govern people. Even if they're in the most remote jungle area, there's some type of law somewhere, because we have an innate feeling of justice. We stand at a graveside and we know that death is an enemy. These are not just evolutionary patterns that have developed over billions of years and now we've inherited them. No. Where does all that come from? We feel guilt and we know we're accountable. I mean, if we were just chemistry, then guilt would just be a chemical reaction. If it's just a chemical reaction, then why do we put people in jail? If we're only animals, then human dignity is just a preference. What makes human beings any different than a grasshopper or a fly? If morality is only a social contract, then good and evil change with society. So you could look back in history and go, well, you know, Hitler, in that time period, he did some really evil things in that context. No, we know that the evil that he committed and so forth is when you see all the evil and suffering in the world, and you see it from the biblical worldview, you don't go, oh gosh, well, if there is a God, he's evil because he would never allow all this stuff to happen. There's a reason behind the suffering and the sins in this world. So now we're ready for the heart of this issue, the morality side. Romans 1:21 says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him or give thanks to him. The fool in his heart says there is no God. Psalm 14:1. We know deep down inside there's a God. Paul does not say people reject God because the evidence is weak. He says people suppress it intentionally. People suppress the majesty of God intentionally. And so this means that unbelief is not just intellectual, it is moral and spiritual. Now, we got to be careful because we don't want to use this passage to crush people. Are you with me? Don't use Romans chapter 1 to crush people or be rude. We got to use it like a light to understand what's happening around us. So if God exists, then I'm not autonomous. If God created me, I don't own myself. If God is holy and righteous, then I'm accountable to him. If God has spoken, then I must listen. That's why the heart resists God. We want to be autonomous. We don't want to have to be accountable to the things that we bury deep in the back of our subconscious. See, the deepest barrier to belief is not merely intellectual, it's spiritual. The human heart does not naturally want a God who has authority over us. Romans 1:25 says that people exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped created things rather than the Creator. That's the human story, isn't it? By the way, all of us were like that at one time. So if we reject God, we don't stop worshiping. You can worship sex. You can worship self. You can worship money. You can worship achievement. You can worship comfort. You can worship control, approval. When people reject God, they don't become too intelligent to worship. No, they simply worship what cannot save them. Are you with me? I've become so educated that I don't need to worship now. So I'll just worship sex or drugs or pride or achievement or my own comparison as a moral agent against people who are not as moral as I am. And this is where we need humility, right? This passage is not just about those people out there. Guess what? Christians, if we are not in alignment with God, can do the very same things and we don't even realize we're doing it. That's the scary part. And by the way, I got to look in the mirror on this, just like anyone else. We've all hidden from God. We've all loved smaller things. We've all tried to manage life without surrendering to the Creator. But the gospel is this. The God we hid from came looking for us. How cool is that? The God we hid from came looking for us. So how do I prove there's a God to my atheist friends? Start with Jesus. Jesus claimed to be God, and Jesus believed there was a Creator. Don't begin with panic. Don't freak out. Just begin with clarity. Ask good questions. When I'm having a discussion with someone who's an agnostic or atheist, I don't get into intellectual combat mode. I just ask questions. And I ask, what kind of proof are you looking for? Prove to me there's a God. What kind of proof are you looking for? Remember, we started out with that. Which God do you not believe in? I've asked that question before. I don't believe in God. Which God do you not believe in? All gods? Very, very few people will say, yes, all gods. It's interesting. Why is there something rather than nothing? It's another great question you can ask someone. Why do we have a conscience? What do you do with the claims of Jesus? And then just speak clearly. I promise you, listen to me, every one of you, you've been walking with the Lord for more than 5 years, you're probably a much better apologist for the existence of God than you realize. Matter does not explain mind. Chemistry does not explain conscience. Survival does not explain sacredness. Then take into the gospel. The God who created the world loved the world, right? Think about this. God so loved the world. What is that? Right there. Jesus starts off with God. He loved the world. What world? The world he created. John 3:16 has the power of massive apologetic torpedo here. God, who created everything, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We got morality, we got conscience. We've got justice, we got love, all in that simple little package. So creation tells us we have a maker. Conscience tells us that we are accountable to that maker. Sin explains why we hide from God. But Jesus reveals that our maker is holy, merciful, full of grace, and listen to this, can be known and can be related to on a personal level through his Son. Jesus came into the world that he created. He died for sinners who suppressed the truth, and then he rose from the dead to save them. So the next time a friend says, prove that God exists, don't freeze. Don't freeze. Ask good questions. Point to reality. Open up scripture. Bring them to Jesus. You don't have to get into a heated debate. It doesn't really do a lot of good. I'm a pretty good debater. I've never debated anyone to receive Jesus Christ. No, I just point. But hopefully these are some things that can help you. Christianity makes better sense of reality than atheism does. And this talk that I just created here, this is how I explain God. Because the universe doesn't make any sense to me without this. I've just never found another worldview that puts it all together or philosophical platform. And let me tell you, I banged my head up against the wall many years, worried. But every time that I dig a little bit deeper, I just get a lot more secure knowing that there is a God. And Christianity doesn't just explain the world better. Christianity brings us to the Savior who entered the world to rescue us. And that's why we can sing and worship and love each other and be grateful. So this is the engine room, and we're going to pray. And here's what we do at the engine room.